Praise the Lord. Well, you're ready for some word here tonight. Ready for the word of God. Hallelujah. Well, turn with me. Go over to Mark chapter 10. And we're just going to take a look at a passage that, of course, I've preached on it many times. And many folks preach on this passage. But I'm going to call this message here tonight, Mercy, Healing, and Faith. Mercy, healing, and faith. And now this isn't going to be, you know, extraordinarily, you know, some in-depth, you know, teaching in the sense that we're not here to dig deep into theology or anything like that here tonight, but we are here to grow our faith. Amen. And we're here to know God. And I don't know about you, and I understand I have a theological side. I have a very strong theological side, and that can be a good thing. Don't misunderstand me. But folks, we can't get so theological that we fail to know him, right? You got to know God, know how he operates, know the heart of God. Amen. Go with me to Mark chapter 10, mercy, healing, and faith. And I want to just, you know, touch on the connection between mercy and healing. And when I say this, you know, maybe some of you will know and understand this. It's okay if you don't, but, you know, you may be aware of it. But the doctrine of healing is under attack. The doctrine of healing is under attack right now in the generation that we live in. You know, there's many folks that once believed in the doctrine of healing that are now kind of turning away from it. And of course, folks, also it comes from the attack too that, you know, we get tested and we've gone through attacks and tests and trials in our bodies. And I think there's a lot of Christians, even, you know, healing, believing, faithful, you know, word-loving Christians that have been through things before in their bodies. And maybe, you know, the healing didn't, you know, come as quickly as we wanted it to, or maybe it didn't arrive the way we wanted it to. And sometimes, you know, those things happen, and Christians start to judge God's will by the circumstances that are around them. Folks, you know, this is not ever, ever to attack somebody who's been sick in their body. Folks, I believe all of us have gone through challenges like that. You know, the mercy of God, amen, provides healing. And when I say this, like when we get into the Word and we start to seek and we know our Heavenly Father, listen, an attack on healing is an attack on mercy. Because at the heart of God's desire to heal is His mercy. And we've got to know and we've got to understand that, because we can get all theological and we can, you know, start to debate texts, you know what I mean? And, oh, this happened. Well, in the Old Testament, you know, there was a lot of sickness and disease. And then yet you see Jesus in the New Testament healing all those that are oppressed of the devil. And a lot of people start to get confused. Well, we've got to understand God from the side of mercy, from the side of mercy. Go to Mark chapter 10. We're going to go over to verse 46, and we're going to look at the scenario here with blind Bartimaeus. And as I was just kind of going through this passage, you know, not trying to look, sometimes, and I've been the chief of being this before, but if we're not careful, we will try to look and find so many things out of a passage that we try to pull out things that it's not really saying. And I believe there's been times when ministers, maybe myself included, we've taken this passage of scripture and we've tried to pull out things that really are not at the heart of this passage. Maybe some things we've pulled out that are true, but maybe they're not the deepest truths of this passage. And I was going through this passage, you know, again, and just in sitting on it and honestly reflecting on how I've taught it before. And I don't believe I've taught it wrong. I just think there's more to be had here that we can get down to the core of really what took place here. And I believe as we go through this passage, you're gonna see a connection between divine mercy and divine healing, all right? And you're gonna see how faith comes as a result, you know? So let's go ahead, let's read the passage and then we'll go back up. I'm going to read from verse 46 all the way down to 52, and then we'll go back up and take a look at it. It says, and they came to Jericho. This is Jesus, and actually you'll see there's a huge crowd following him. They came to Jericho, and as he, Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. All right, what was he there for? He was a beggar. And so what was he looking to receive? Money, right? Now, a lot of times we think, you know, as you know, Bartimaeus was sitting there, you know, we think, you know, often that he was initially there for other purposes, but you got to remember, and of course he's blind, and you are going to see in this scripture, in this passage, that he was given a garment. He had a garment on that symbolized that he was approved by the Roman government to be able to sit and to beg. And so he's sitting there, and that was kind of their social security, so to speak. That was kind of their disability program in the Roman Empire. If there was somebody that was genuinely blind, the government would issue a garment. And so when people gave to that man, they would know that he was not lying, that he had an approval of the government to beg. But when somebody's begging, they're looking for money. They're looking for natural needs, you know. They're sitting there and they're looking for food, you know, money for food and so on. And it says, and when he heard it, meaning this is Bartimaeus, and when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now remember, as soon as he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, now he couldn't see that for himself, but he obviously heard in the scuffle of the crowd and everyone that was going by, he learned that it was indeed Jesus, that it wasn't just a normal crowd going by, that clearly he had heard of Jesus before, and so he started to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, or in other words, be quiet. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calls you. And he, Bartimaeus, casting away his garment. And see, there's a mention of that garment that the government would have issued to him. And that's why the scripture, you know, includes that. He cast away his garment, he arose, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will you that I should do unto you? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, your faith has made you whole or healed. And so this was a matter of healing, all right? And it says, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way, or he now joined the crowd with his sight. How many of you know that's a miracle? How many of you believe that was a creative miracle? That was a creative miracle in the body. You know, that was an act of healing. Now let's go back up to the top and start looking at this. You know, oftentimes, and again, I believe that, you know, I have probably in years past made mention of this, but so many times we think that, you know, Bartimaeus received his healing, or we think that Bartimaeus, you know, got Jesus's attention with his faith just because he upped his volume. You know, we see what was going on. Jesus was walking by. Jesus walked right past that blind man. And Jesus did not do anything, even when Bartimaeus initially started calling out. All right, but one thing we do need to point out here, go back down here to verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out. So meaning up until he heard that it was Jesus going by, he was doing what he always did. He was just asking for money, asking for money, asking for money. But then when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, now his words changed. Now he started to say something that he wasn't saying before, all right? And he started to cry out. What did he start to say? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. All right, verse 48, many charged him to be quiet and to hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, if we're not careful, we will just think that the volume is what got Jesus's attention. Or, and like I've said in the past, which isn't necessarily untrue, you know, what he started to do is he started to just put some volume to his faith. Folks, there's nothing wrong with adding a little, you know, something to your confession. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with shouting before the Lord. There's nothing wrong with speaking up and getting vocal with God, all right? But just getting louder here is not what made his faith. What made his faith is what he said and what he knew and understood. Or let me say this, what he believed about Jesus Christ. He heard about Jesus of Nazareth, and so he went from saying, hey, you got some money? Hey, you got some money? All of a sudden he said, oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He, this man, in you know, even in his condition, you know, he did not have the training that you and I have. You know, he didn't know how to confess the scriptures like you and I do. He didn't know how to be, you know, the perfect little word of faith Christian. You know what I mean? He didn't have, you know, all the teaching, and he hadn't had theological classes and services in a local church and all this stuff that we had, that we have today. But what he started to do, he cried out with two bits of knowledge that really very few ever tap into when it comes to healing and receiving a miracle from God. He started to call out, he said, Jesus, thou son of David. When he did that, that was his way of saying, Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah. As it was prophesied, God's word said that you would come from the lineage of David. Therefore, I believe that you are the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. I believe you're Messiah. I believe you are the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. When he said, Jesus, thou son of David, he learned that. Somewhere this blind man starts calling out, you know, with the knowledge of who Jesus is and was prophesied to be in the Old Testament. Then he learned and he started to say what no Pharisee had said. Not that Bartimaeus was a Pharisee, he wasn't. But even the religious elite of his day started to tap into something that no one else had, you know, in the religious circles had gotten into, right? What he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. What he realized, that the promise of Messiah and the fullness of the Old Testament law, remember the weightier matters of the Old Testament, right? Judgment, mercy, and faith. All of a sudden, this blind man called out to Jesus and said, Jesus, thou son of David, you are here for the sake of mercy. Amen. This is why Jesus stopped. It wasn't just because his faith got loud enough. It wasn't just because, you know, he had just the perfect confession. It wasn't just because he had everything lined up in a row. But as soon as he heard it was Jesus, he stopped asking for money and started declaring what he believed, who Jesus is, and what he was prophesied to be. Folks, the one thing that will absolutely get God's attention for anything and everything we need in this life is his mercy. Jesus was sent to us out of mercy. And so often we just think, well, if I confess all the scriptures just right, if I have some recipe of faith just right, then healing will just, you know, turn on and work for me. But see, this man cried out with a wholehearted, deep-seated, sincere and honest desire and belief that Jesus is Messiah, and if he is the fulfillment of the law, that he is here for one great purpose, and that is for mercy. Amen. Yes, Jesus had walked right past him until that man stopped Jesus in his tracks with a wholehearted cry for mercy. A wholehearted cry. It wasn't just faith, it was the cry of mercy. Because if you believe that Jesus is the son of David, you would know that he was prophesied to bring mercy to Israel. So many times we don't know this and understand this. Bartimaeus knew this one thing about Jesus of Nazareth. He didn't have any training. He didn't know how to confess the scriptures. He didn't have a way to read the Bible. He was blind, but he knew this one thing about the Lord. He's merciful. Yeah. See, in verse 48, it says this, many charged him that he should hold his peace or be quiet. Bartimaeus is told to be quiet, yet he cries out even more for mercy. Remember, he was there begging for money. Mercy could have been real easily regarded as, well, toss him a coin. Toss him a dollar. Toss him some money. That would have been mercy. That's what he was. That was what he was originally there for. Think about this. Yeah. Mercy could have easily been regarded for giving him money or throwing him a coin. But here Bartimaeus was calling out for this ultimate mercy. Isn't it awesome? I love that. Amen. He knew the prophecy that Christ would come from the lineage of David, and he knew that he would be the one to fulfill the law. He knew that Messiah would be there to bring mercy to Israel. So he cried out with a sincere, deep desire for the mercy of God. He tapped into truly what Jesus was there to do. All of a sudden, he stopped asking for money because he knew that Jesus was not there first and foremost to produce money. All right? He is our provider. Thank God for it. But why does Jesus provide for us? Because he's merciful. He's merciful. You know, he started to cry out for mercy because mercy is the foundation upon which God approaches man. We are never going to know him. We are never going to receive his promises. We are never going to fully have any revelation of God until we know, understand, call out and believe for the mercy of God. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I'm doing great in my life. I'm not doing anything wrong right now. Well, as far as I know, neither am I. All right? It's not about, you know, well, I don't need mercy right now. Folks, everything that God is merciful. Everything he does is merciful. Everything he wants to be known for is merciful. He does not want you coming there saying, well, I'm going to get it because I confessed these three scriptures. I confessed them for 7 days straight. I did this, I did this, I did this. You're going to need to know his mercy. Amen. Listen, there's nothing wrong with getting into the scriptures and speaking them several times a day. That'll help you. All right, but I'm just saying, don't stand there before God and think you're going to receive because you've been technically proficient. Technically proficient. If God always judged us on our technical proficiency, then David would have been lost. All right, you better be careful. See, again, when he cries out with that, Jesus, thou son of David, why did God choose David to represent, you know, all of that history of the Old Testament? Because God had mercy on him. God had mercy on him. If there's one thing that David sung about the most, he sang about the mercy of God, the goodness of God. I will see God, the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. Do you believe God's good to you? Even when something didn't show up just the way you wanted it or in your time frame, isn't he still good? Nothing changes that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And sometimes we just think, well, if I just up my volume, if I, you know, it's not just the quantity of what we're confessing. It's the quality of what we're confessing. The heart that gets down to the core of who God is. Father, I know you to be merciful. You know, I'm not relying on how many times I said that verse, because how many times is enough? You know, folks, you do understand it's not quite like just filling up your gas tank. You know what I mean? You can't just go there, well, I unhooked the pump. I put it in there. I put my credit card in the slot. I counted the gallons. I counted the dollars. I waited until the thing clicked off. God is not like that. You don't just go. And if you just do everything technically right, he's not a gumball machine. You don't put the quarter in. He wants you to know him. He wants you to confess that belief in his mercy. Amen. Glory to God. And then we come down there to verse 52. And again, Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. What happens when faith and mercy come together? Someone got healed. Someone got healed. A miracle took place. Because it was what founded upon the mercy of God. When mercy and faith come together, they can and will produce healing, a creative miracle in that man's body. I truly believe this. I believe that this is why we are not seeing as many miracles and healings in the days that we live in right now, because we, when I say we, I just mean the body of Christ in general, we are far less merciful. We have a shallow understanding of mercy. This is what happens when Christians start to believe that the only purpose of faith is just to get more money. It'll make you less merciful. When you believe that it's just all about you and it becomes self-centered and, you know, a gospel of, let me just get mine, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, it will start to dry up the miracle power of God. And people have, I truly believe in these days, with the help of society, with the help of media, social media, and so on, it has made mankind so abundantly selfish, so abundantly unmerciful, right? God is going to move in your life because of mercy, because you live on his mercy, and therefore you show his mercy. Amen. Folks, you know, again, we're not getting into deep theology, but I truly believe this, that man's heart in these days, especially the church, has got to get more tenderhearted. The church of Jesus on this earth has got to be tenderhearted like him. We've got to get the Spirit of Christ back into the church. Tenderhearted, merciful. Jesus did not stop to blind Bartimaeus and say, you know what, I'm not sure if you confessed enough scriptures yet. I'm not sure if you've been to enough church services yet. I'm not sure. Now, of course, be in church. Do you understand? But I'm not sure you've quite served enough. I'm not quite sure if you did everything right. But with that cry of mercy and that desire, said, listen, if there's one thing I know about God, his mercy will never fail me. His mercy will never fail me. Amen. Hold your place there. Go to Matthew chapter 5. And let's start looking at our side of it. Matthew chapter 5. Go to the early verses here in the chapter known as the Beatitudes, right? The Beatitudes. Right? Parents, when your kids have a bad attitude, send them over to the Beatitudes. Go to verse 7. Go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Jesus speaking. I was going to read this whole passage, but we'll just go right. I know, Reverend S. I'm trying not to laugh myself. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. For what? They shall obtain mercy. Remember, what did blind Bartimaeus get? Some will say, well, he got his healing. But God will say, no, he got his mercy. He got his mercy. Sometimes, you know, you say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I quite understand the difference. He cried out for mercy, all right? Sometimes if we're not careful, we can get so self-absorbed even in our own problems. See, mercy, I hope I'm communicating this right. You know, if you'll start to understand, so many times it becomes about what we get. We get the money, we get the healing, we. But he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Ultimately, what he received was mercy in his body. What is healing? Healing is God's mercy in your body. Thank God for that. But notice this. It says, blessed are they that are merciful, so they shall obtain mercy. What are all the things that are contained in that word mercy? Well, we've seen already tonight, healing is contained in mercy. Because Bartimaeus tapped into the mercy of God, he got healed. All right? When you called upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you tapped into God's mercy and got saved. All right? Think of what is available through mercy. What is in there? How about all your debt being paid off? Do you think that's contained in there? Absolutely. God will provide all of our needs by his mercy. Amen. But notice verse 7, it tells us our side. Blessed are the merciful, for they are the ones that God's mercy will reach. Oh, think about it. When you're merciful, it gives God permission to put his mercy in your life. Amen. so many times. And folks, when I say this, people try to twist my words and try to say, well, if you say this, well, then you're saying this. No, be careful. They'll say, well, now you're saying because I wasn't merciful enough, that's why I didn't get healed. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that within God's mercy, it contains everything we need. If you need healing in your body, guess where it is? It's in the mercy of God. And what are you going to do? Are you going to stand on your own self-righteousness and go to God and act like you've done everything just right, therefore you deserve it? Or are you going to go to God and say, Father, I receive because I stand upon your mercy. You are merciful. That is who you are. You know, maybe you're doing just great in life. I'm sure many of us are. We're faithful to God. We're loving him. But it's still his mercy that you need every single day. Amen. Stop trying to receive on your technical proficiency and start receiving upon his mercy. You know, sometimes, and teachers like myself can be the most guilty of it, we think, okay, step number one, you do this. Step number two, you do this. If you do this enough, and then, you know, we act like it's the gas pump. You know what I mean? But you can't get like that with God, right? Blessed are the merciful. So put your name in there, right? Blessed is Pastor Tim when he's merciful, for he will obtain my mercy. Amen. Glory to God. In that mercy is all the healing I need. In that mercy is all the financial help that I need. In that mercy is all the help I need for my marriage, all that. In that mercy is the help that my children need. Amen. Think of all the things that are contained in that mercy. Well, guess what? We've got to be merciful. So we've got to ask ourselves, are we merciful people? Are you merciful in your marriage? Are you merciful in your marriage? Are you merciful to your boss at work? Are you merciful? Right? Are you merciful to those that are around you? Or are you just like this world that is so filled with venom and ready to go on the attack? Are you sitting behind that keyboard at home just waiting for someone to put up a comment on Facebook so you can go in and roast them for what they said? Are you sitting there constantly, you know, debating and you know, getting on there and fighting? Are you so drawn into this political toxic nature in our country right now that you're just getting on there, you know, going after every little thing? Folks, we live in a very evil world. There's a lot of evil being perpetrated in the political realm. But I'm going to tell you what, you better be careful. You should be crying out for mercy upon our nation. Listen. I mean, people just get mad at me. I've literally lost people here at this church because I've said things like I'm about to say. Listen. I'm not a political guy. I don't belong to the Republican Party. I don't belong to the Democratic Party. All right, I am a man of God. I'm a man of the scriptures first and foremost. Our current president is doing many, many, many evil, evil things. All right, not just him, and he's not doing those things all by himself. All right, but if we just cry out for judgment, we are contradicting the voice of the body of Christ. Our job, you know, is to cry out for mercy. Say, well, I just cannot, I will not have mercy on that president. I will not, I will not, I will not. So now you found something in your life that mercy will not go to. You now believe, unlike Jesus Christ, that there's somebody somewhere that does not deserve that mercy. Be careful. Be careful. You know, this is why it is dangerous for Christians to get so twisted in their mind with stuff politically. Because what they do is when they're reacting like that is say, I want no mercy for these people. No mercy for these abortionists. No mercy for these Democrats. No mercy for these Republicans. No mercy for this president. No mercy for any of them. You start looking at your nation as something that you would rather receive judgment than mercy. You are fighting against your own self and your own family. Why we pray every single week here at this church, Father, be merciful to this nation. Father, withhold judgment against this land. Somebody has got to know and understand the heart of God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, said Jesus to the ones who are pounding the nails through his hands. You act like the president is nailing you to a cross. You know, you better watch out. You better be careful how that stirs that dark hate. It starts to stir just this, you know, venom in this vitriol. You better be very careful about the animosity, because the heart of God, which should be in us, is to be merciful. You say, you mean God's not mad at the present? Listen, God will withhold those things for his judgment, but until then, he's hoping, you know, meaning he would desire that they would receive mercy and not judgment. Isn't it interesting? Have you ever prayed for somebody in your family that is really living wrong? I mean, they're getting drunk, doing drugs, doing, you know, all this stuff. You ever been praying for them? And Father God, I pray that, you know, laborers would be in their path, that they would give their life to Christ. Father God, be merciful unto so-and-so. Have you ever prayed that way? Okay, five of you pray for your loved ones like that? Okay. Got some work to do around here, apparently, right? All right, well, you call out. What are you doing? You're calling out for mercy on those that you love. But isn't it interesting that the people you're calling out for mercy might be doing things personally that are just as bad as what some politicians are doing, but yet you're calling out for their judgment? Be careful, because if you're over here calling for mercy, but on the other hand, you're calling for judgment to someone because you don't like what they do or whatever, I'll tell you what, your judgment over here is gonna cancel out the mercy over here. You gotta be very careful. And if there's ever anyone easy to judge, it's always gonna be somebody in political office. I'm just saying, I'm using that as an example. It is a trap. Have you ever seen, you know, these videos of these car chases? And they're always in Georgia. They're always in Georgia. We have this joke, you know, I don't know, this old TV show, and it was always about cop chases and stuff. And we always had this joke, something about Somerset County, Georgia. It was like every other video was from Somerset County, Georgia. Somerset County, Georgia. This young man has just stolen a car, but he won't get, you know how the cops, they get out there and they throw those chain strips across the road, you know, and the bad guy runs over, you know, the strips, and of course pops his tires, and then he's still running on the rims, and he's throwing sparks, but then they catch up to him and everything. That's exactly what it's like. The devil has taken, you know, that spike strip, and he lays it out in front of the body of Christ. And that trap is always, you know, get them offended, get them merciless towards politics, and yeah, that's exactly right. Because he's going to try to slow you down so he can catch up to you by making you all offended, having no mercy for political figures or whatnot. I've seen so many Christians just absolutely getting twisted up. It's like a snare with political things. And they get mad at me because I tell them that you've got to, listen, you aren't called to predict who the next president is. You're called to pray for whoever the next president is. And I believe that's one reason why the body of Christ misses that so often. And you think we'd get it right because you got a 50-50 chance. You think we'd be able to guess it right, but so many times the body of Christ is confused on that because God didn't call them to predict who the future president is. Called that body of Christ to, you know, pray for that future president, have mercy on that president. Amen. Glory to God. I know we're about running out of time. Go to Matthew 23. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Your marriage isn't going to do very well if you're never merciful. Mercy is not for what they do right, right? Mercy is for the things that maybe you don't understand. Maybe it's not them doing anything wrong. Maybe it's something you don't like. Maybe it's something you don't understand. Maybe you're the grumpy one. Maybe, you ever thought of that? Yes. You ever wondered that? Apparently Reverend Justin has thought of that a few times. Right. That's right. He just said the three greatest words that can be spoken in any marriage. And everyone always says, oh, I know what those three words, I love you. No, those are the second greatest three words you can say. The first three are, I am wrong. See, you thought it was, I am sorry. No, don't. That comes later. Just say, I'm wrong. Matthew 23, in verse 23. Blessed are the merciful. I truly believe that the body of Christ has become selfish with faith. You know, if we're not careful, we start to turn it all into what we need, we receive. It becomes all about us, and it becomes very self-centered. And I'll tell you what, selfishness is never merciful. Selfishness, really the spirit of selfishness is take no prisoner, no holds barred. Let them have it. You know, if they hit you, you hit them back harder. And that just sounds all great and fine in our world. But I'll tell you what, that's not the heart of God. The Bible says we do not return evil for evil. You know, and I'll tell you, it takes some spiritual growth to be merciful like God is merciful. But in that mercy is where miracles are going to flow. It's in that mercy where healing, that's the connection to healing. Mercy is the connection to healing, right? Believing in God's mercy is what it's going to take. Go to Matthew 23, 23. Remember, I quoted this verse earlier. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And the scribes and Pharisees were the religious elite. They were supposed to know more than anybody else. He says, "You are hypocrites because you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters." Everyone say weightier matters of the law. So this is what Jesus is saying was the most important aspects of all that God did in the Old Testament. All right, think about this. And this is why blind Bartimaeus received mercy. He says, "You have omitted the weightier," or literally the more important matters of the law. Do you know that there's certain aspects of the Word of God that are more important than others? Salvation is more important than healing. It is. Smith Wigglesworth, he said this. He said, "I'd rather see one soul saved than 10,000 bodies healed." It is. It is the absolute greatest need for all of humanity. It is the greatest act of mercy, is salvation through Jesus Christ. Salvation is more important than financial prosperity. We could say it this way. Healing is more important than financial prosperity. Obviously, financial prosperity doesn't mean much if you're not able to use it or to enjoy it, right? The weightier matters of the word. He says judgment, mercy, and faith. When we see the word judgment there, we think of, you know, like a punishment or a sentence. The word judgment there is actually the word justice. Justice. God said, "This is what I wanted you to know and understand for all that I've done." He said the weightier or the most important aspects of the Old Testament law was justice, mercy, and faith. Say, what do you mean? Well, where was the mercy in the Old Testament? The Old Testament was given so that they would say, "Oh my goodness, we need mercy. We need it. We are so far short of who God is. We need mercy." But folks, do you see this? Justice means that you treat people fairly. Justice means that you are not a respecter of persons. You know, justice means your principle is more important than your favorite. All right, you know that, you understand what I mean by that? See, when justice is done, it means no, the important thing is that the principle of it is the most important thing. Not treating people with favorability just because you like them more, right? See, our nation has got a justice problem. We've got a double standard in the Justice Department, don't we? Yes, we do. But we're supposed to be people of justice. I mean, personally, we treat them fairly. I'm going to treat you the same no matter who you are, right? No matter what you are, where you come from, right? Amen. Justice is at the heart of God, meaning fairness for everybody. All right, notice the second thing, mercy. Mercy. God says, "I want you to treat everybody equally the same. I want you, you know, to owe no man anything except to love him. And I want you to be merciful. I want you to be merciful." Notice he put mercy before faith. Isn't it interesting? You can regurgitate. Why? Faith without mercy is dead. All right, you can regurgitate every scripture in perfect faith. You can read all the faith books you want, but without mercy, none of it works. You can sit there and confess the scripture out loud to God all day, every day, but if you are a merciless person, guess what? Your faith isn't gonna work. Notice justice and mercy come before faith. Why? Because justice is actually a term of relationship. Because, you understand? You know, God wants you to value people more than what you're going to receive. Mercy is more important than faith. You can say, well, I'm a man of powerful faith. I'm a woman of powerful faith. But that's just the problem. You know, you can have all the faith in the world. You can, you know, exercise it all day long. But if you are not merciful, it's not going to work. You know, I hear stories all the time. Christians say, oh, Pastor Tim, there's a guy in my work who just keeps using the F word, takes the Lord's name in vain all day. And I just tell him, stop it or get away from me. I'm like, gee whiz, I'd get away from you too. I am so glad. Oh my goodness. When I first ever showed up to church at 23 years of age, I did not look like the church going man. I didn't act like it. I wasn't living like it. Pastor Richard Hamilton up there in Stockton, you know, I walked into his church. He treated me just like he treated all of his properly dressed church, you know, goers that were coming on in. He never mind my long hair, my cutoff shorts, my sandals, and, you know, my shagginess. And he had no idea what I was doing, you know, in my personal life. But guess what? That man treated me with kindness. There was justice with that man, meaning he treated me just as well as everybody else. Folks, if you can't look past somebody in your life using foul language, who cares? Say, what? Pastor, you don't have a problem with foul language? I don't have a problem with it when it's a sinner who doesn't know Jesus Christ. I have no problem with it at all. Say, Pastor, you don't care when a sinner takes the Lord's name in vain? Nope, I don't care, because neither does God. Because God has already made all the propitiation for that sin to be washed away. What that person needs at that moment, they need your mercy. They don't need your judgment and how you treat them. Oh, you shouldn't say that. You need to stop saying that. Them stopping saying that isn't going to get them saved. Getting saved is not a matter of stopping your swear words, right? You won't talk that way when the Spirit of God truly moves into your heart. Get them saved. Tell them about God's goodness. Tell them about God's mercy. You know, someone shows up and all of a sudden they start, you know, stinking like dope and all the stuff that's now legal these days. You smell it everywhere. I mean, I'll tell you what, it'd be real easy. It's okay to not like the smell of that stuff. But I'm telling you, if you're working with somebody, they smell like that, they don't need you looking over at them like, you need to stop smoking that. They're never going to stop smoking that until they know Jesus. They need mercy before they need your judgment. You know, I talk to a lot of people, man. I talk to people that are rough, they're tumble, they cuss. One of my favorite things. So many times I come across people, we're talking, you know, and they're talking rough and everything, and I think nothing of it. I don't try to stop them. It's not my job to stop them. And then all of a sudden they'll be like, and so by the way, what do you do for a living? I'm always just counting it down in my mind. Okay, here we go. They're going to ask me what I do for a living. Here it comes. Here it comes. They'll be like, well, actually, I'm a pastor. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, I didn't mean that. Oh, I shouldn't have talked that way. And I just say, it's okay. I'm not mad at you. I literally tell them, I say, I don't care. I don't care. Because if I get an opportunity to win them to Jesus, I'm telling you, folks, if you want to see, you know, your city change, you want to see people change, they don't need your judgment. They need your mercy. They need to see goodness in you. Listen, the mercy of God. God can bring you back from all that. God will forgive all that. God has already put that under the blood. Now you just need to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and let that presence of God move into your heart. And all of a sudden, that'll start to work on them. You know, if someone would have come up to me and just said, you got to, you know, what are you doing? You got to live for God. Stop that drinking. Stop that drinking. Stop that cussing. You know what I would have done? I would have drank more. Because that's the kind of person I was. Oh, yeah, you want to stop me? Watch this. Oh. I mean, people would say that to me, and I would up my profanity. Oh, really? Because I would get a kick. I mean, that's where I was as a lost person. I didn't care. I used the F word probably 3 times a sentence when I didn't know Jesus. But it wasn't somebody that came to me and said, you better stop that swearing. You better stop that drinking. No, someone came to me and said, you know what? I gave my life to Jesus, and I want to let you know that you can too. That is what spoke to me. Amen. Amen. Matthew 23:23. The weightier matters of the word of God are what? Justice, mercy, and faith. Justice. Meaning you're treating everybody under the same principle. And really, we're treating everybody under the principle of love in the New Testament. Right? So, well, Pastor, I mean, don't you tell them how wrong it is? No. Do you know when that was pastor, we'd have people that would show up and, you know, start attending the church. And I could name some names and we'd all get a kick out of it. But, you know, people would show up and they'd be all pierced up, you know, maybe, you know, full of, you know, tattoos and all this, dudes wearing, you know, earrings and all this stuff. And people would come up to me and say, Pastor, when are you going to finally approach so-and-so and tell them to get that stuff out of their face? Get those earrings out of their head. Get, you know, blah, 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 blah. I said, I'm not going to. I know some of you look at me surprised. You don't think that there's people in churches like that. There's a lot of them. There's people, and I'm not looking at anybody. There's nobody here. Not here, you know, here tonight. But, I mean, there would be people that would come and be like, you know, so-and-so. I'd even started to ask them to serve in the ministry. You know, they'd been faithful in church. You could tell their heart was right. But you were just waiting for the Holy Spirit to start talking about those things. You know, let the Spirit of God deal with them. They were in church. They were hearing the word. And there just came a time when they just said, you know what, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to put, you know, a bunch of piercings in my face. I don't want to get tattoos anymore. Men said, I don't want to wear eyeliner anymore. Yes. Say, Pastor, you mean guys are coming to the church that were wearing eyeliner? Yes. Did you say anything to them? I sure wanted to. Because just the traditional guy that I am just wants to look at and say, stop wearing that stuff. Stop that. Take off that nail polish. But it meant a lot more to them when the Holy Ghost told them to do it. And we'll end here. Go to Luke chapter 1. Justice, mercy, and faith. Treating people right. Merciful. Merciful. Now, of course, you know, people hear a message like this and they'll say, okay, well, how far do I have to go with my mercy? What if your spouse is doing this? What if your spouse is doing this? Obviously, you know, on this earth, you know, somebody can greatly violate the mercy you're showing them, and the Lord will give them a space and a time to repent. And you will have to give them a space and time to repent. But there's sometimes when people, you know, they don't repent, and therefore you have to make decisions that are tough. So please understand what I'm talking about here tonight. Go to Luke chapter 1. I want to read this passage. This is Mary. Ever heard of her? The mother of Jesus, right? And of course, she was not exalted as divine, but I want to read this passage starting in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, and maybe 10 or 11 verses here. I think it's really, really amazing that Mary at this time of speaking this was a teenager. Teenagers, you don't think that God can use you in a mighty way? Now remember, you say, well, see, she was a teenager and she was having a child. Well, this was a little bit different, right? Times were different and things, and she, of course, was married. And now look at this in verse 46, or she was espoused, I should say. And now verse 46, Mary starts speaking, and you might even have a subtitle in your Bible called Mary's Song. It's called that traditionally, but I don't believe she was singing it at all. Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." This is, of course, when she found out that she would bear the Son of God. "For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." How many of you believe the mercy of God is on you? Because she's talking about all generations here. That's you and I. "He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has holpen," that's a King James, the word is helped. "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his" what? "Mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Wait. Let's read that again. Do you see yourself in that verse? What verse are you in? You're in verse 55. Why? Because it says, "to Abraham and to his seed forever." Who is Abraham's seed? We are. Go back up to verse 54. "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." In remembrance of his mercy. Did Israel always do everything right? No. Did they always deserve his mercy? No. Were there a lot of times when they downright frustrated the mercy of God? Yes, they certainly did. But notice God kept coming back and being merciful to them over and over and over again, to the point where I'm thinking, what are you doing? Let them go. You know, but God, he said, "I kept coming back because someone reminded me of my mercy to Abraham's seed." Folks, that's on us. He said, why? Because of the remembrance of my mercy. Put God in remembrance of his mercy to you. This is the connection between mercy and healing. This is the connection between mercy and prosperity. This is the connection between mercy and all that God wants to do in your life. So many times, let's face it, we remind God about our needs because we want the money or the financial help. But what God wants to be put in remembrance of is his mercy, because that is what rests upon all of us. Amen? Amen. As the seed of Abraham. Glory to God. How did blind Bartimaeus get healed? He called out for mercy. What did he do? He put God in remembrance of his mercy. When he said, "Jesus, thou son of David," he was saying, "You called forth your Messiah from the lineage of David to have mercy on me." God sent forth his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you would put him in remembrance of his mercy upon you. Don't be an arrogant believer that just goes and say, "Okay, here's my confessions," and you just rattle them off with some kind of, you know, arrogant persistence. You know, you go to God and you say, "Father, I thank you. I put you in remembrance of your mercy." Why does God wants the glory for his mercy? Let's face it, so often we want to see people healed in our churches because we want the ministry to get the credit. We'd like the ministry to be, I don't want that to be my heart here, but let's face it, that happens in churches. The minister wants the glory. The church wants the glory. It'd be wonderful to advertise healings, right? But I tell you what God wants, he wants to make sure that he gets the glory for his mercy. His mercy. Did you get something out of that here tonight? Yes. Praise the Lord. How are you going to know him? By putting him in remembrance of his mercy. Let's all go ahead. Let's stand up here tonight. Let's just worship him. Father God, you are so good. Father, you are holy and good. We see that the most important aspects of your word is justice. The principle of being fair and kind to everyone. Mercy. Father, we see and we understand that our faith will not work if we're merciless. Father, you said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Yes. Father, we bless you. Lord, we understand, not just for ourselves. Lord, we are so grateful that we can put you in remembrance of the mercy that you've placed upon us. But Lord, in this, we also see the answer to reaching this city, this region. Father, the city of Jamestown needs your mercy. Father, there are so many in this town that are just like Bartimaeus. Father, they're just like him. They're destitute, have nothing. Maybe even at their own doing, we understand Bartimaeus, that was a matter of his physical ailment. It wasn't something he could control. But Lord, even when we've put ourselves in a bad place, you're still merciful to us. Thank you, Father God. We bless you, Lord God. This city needs mercy. Father, you told us to be merciful to the poor. Father, we have plenty right here. We have such an opportunity to be merciful. Lord, every single one of us have an opportunity to be merciful in our marriage, merciful to those that we work with, merciful. Thank you, Lord God. For Lord, we want to be tender-hearted like you're tender-hearted. Father, we want to be good like you are good. Father, we want to be faithful like you. And we want to be merciful just like you. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. Oh, there's going to come opportunities. Oh, Lord, I see in times in my life when I've not been merciful. Oh, I see in times where this church hasn't been merciful. Father, forgive us. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be merciful. Help us to be reminded of this. Father, we want our nature to be merciful like yours. We bless you, Lord God. We worship you. Let's just lift our voices before we dismiss. Father, we just bless you tonight. We bless you tonight. We bless you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We glorify 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 you, Lord God. Merciful God. Merciful God. Merciful God. Merciful God. Father, we understand that your mercy, obviously there's still consequences for sin if we choose it. But Lord, it's within your mercy. Thank you, Lord God. Father, this is why we believe in healing, because you're merciful. Father, this is why we call you provider, because you're merciful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Father. And so, Lord, we just glorify you tonight. We thank you for these services. Lord, we're very excited about what is to come. And Lord, we bless you. Father, as we get ready to receive tonight's offering, we just say it's an honor to have a home church. It's an honor to have a church family. Father, we love sowing good seed into good ground. Father, we love to provide for the house of the Lord. And Father, you love to provide for our house. You are merciful and good. Merciful and good. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown healing. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be provided for. Blessed are the merciful, for all their needs will be met. Blessed are the merciful, and that blessing will rest upon their children. Blessed are the merciful. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we thank you that as we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Lord, we just are so grateful you feed us every day. In Jesus' name,
Amen.
Brothers, you may serve the people. Appreciate everybody being here tonight. As we're taking up that offering, let's just worship God for a few more moments. Father, we just bless you. We bless you, Lord God. We bless you. We bless you. Bless you, Lord God. Bless you, Lord God. Bless you, Lord God. Bless you, Lord God. Blessed is your name, Lord God. Blessed, 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 blessed is your name. Oh, glory to God. Glory to you, Father, for your great mercy. Glory to you, Father, for your great kindness and your patience. Thank you, Lord God. Father, it's in the light of your mercy that we obey you and seek you. It is in the light of your mercy that we live a sacrificed life. It's in the light of your mercy that we're merciful to others. It's in the light of your mercy that we forgive one another. It's in the light of your mercy that we love one another. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. 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 Yeah, yeah, yes. Praise you, Father. Yes. There's a mother here tonight, maybe more than one. And your heart's cry has gone out for a child, perhaps a grown child, and the difficulties and the trials that that child is facing. And perhaps that child is wayward, but mercy shall be shown. For you have been merciful. For you have been patient. That cry has not gone unnoticed. You haven't seen the change that you've desired to see. You haven't seen the complete turnaround that you would like to see. But it's taking place. It's taking place. The Lord is moving upon that child's heart, that grown adult, but he's still a child. He's still a child. And as your prayers have gone up, they have not been ignored. They have not been ignored. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord God, for that. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. Yeah. 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 I see a grown child, and it's a man. This man is struggling. And the man that I see right now is a Christian man. And he's struggling in his faith. He's struggling in his marriage. But the faithfulness of a parent, the faithfulness of a parent is going to bring that child back. The faithfulness. And that man that I see, he's going to make it. 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 So, Father, we pray for that man. We pray for that man. We pray for him as a father, as a son, Father, as a believer. Lord, we say that he is strengthened. He is strengthened, and he fulfills all the will of God. Lord, we thank you. 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 He's going to make it. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So, Father, we come beside that man. And Father, we lift him up before you. That Father, that you would strengthen him. Lord, surround him with your favor like a shield. Show him your great mercy. Yeah, and that's what will happen. That's what will happen. That's what will happen. That man will call out for mercy. He'll get to a place where nothing else will work. Nothing else will work. And he'll call out for mercy and he'll have it. He'll have it. And he'll be shown that mercy in his marriage, in his home. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. 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 Father, we just praise you tonight. Lord, we just thank you. We just worship you. Holy God. Holy God. You're so good, Father. You're so good. Just worship you. Worship you. Yeah. 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 And there's been more than one man spoken of here tonight that we've prayed for. There's been more than one. There's been more than one. So Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. Father, we praise you. We worship you. Thank you, Lord God. We just bless your holy name. And Father, thank you for each one that's here tonight. Thank you for these precious families. Thank you, Lord, for the plan that you have for each and every one of them. Father, I call them blessed. I say that your angels go before them. No evil befall them, no plague near their dwelling. Father, I thank you, you grant unto all of us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. Thank you, Lord God. You are so good. We give you the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, everybody, for being here. If you are going to sign up for the mentoring class, please see that sign-up sheet out there.